Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I could do a chin-up.
You there?
At least one.
Okay.
I could do maybe three.
Three chin-ups?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Nick said he would bet his next seven paychecks that I can't do a single pull-up. I'll take that bet.
Yeah.
I know I can do one pull-up.
Which one? The chin-up or the pull-up?
Even if it's knuckles in, the pull-up, okay?
Yeah.
One?
No, you can't do one.
I don't think you could do one either.
Really?
Nope.
You don't think I could do one?
We've got more text on this. One, if Howard does three chin-ups, I'll eat a flip-flop. One, no way Howard can do any chin-ups. I'd like to see a challenge. He says he can do three. Are you bleeping kidding me?
There's got to be something here somewhere that could be.
Should you want to make it a Twitter poll?
What are you setting the line at? I mean, chin-ups are easier.
Chin-ups are easier. Pull-ups?
So pull-up, you don't think I could do one pull-up?
No, I don't.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Since then, I will tell you that I probably could not beat gravity at this point. I'm not even sure I can get my body off the ground to reach the bar to just grab for it and then try the... Well, it didn't work anyway. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to talk more Bills football and some other matters and stories around the NFL, including the Chiefs and their game from last night, by going to the Wester Hotline. Former NFL quarterback Jim Miller is going to join us. He is on Moving the Change, which could be heard weekdays from 3 to 7, Sirius XM NFL Radio. He's a guy that, when there isn't a pandemic, is always a visitor to Bill's training camp for his radio show in the summer. Jim, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Hey, good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You do make the Bills camp a regular stop, so you're familiar with Josh Allen and what's been going on here offensively. Let's start there because, Jim, wouldn't you agree that what he's doing and what the Bills offense has done in the first three games is one of the bigger storylines so far in the league?
Oh, without a doubt. I think they're doing tremendous. Just while you see the growth of a young quarterback, but, you know, you credit Brandon Bee, you credit Sean McDermott because they put a lot of money around him. They needed, you know, he needed a supporting cast, and I think they've done that, you know, with free agency, going out and signing the guys that they have, by drafting a young Cody Ford and letting him mature on the offensive line, and then, of course, trading for Stephon Diggs and drafting a guy like Gabriel Davis. So I think they put a nice supporting cast around him. That goes for the tight end position, every position. They've really helped young Josh Allen out, and you're starting to see him blossom.
Jim, what's the progression like? We always hear about, like, especially when a quarterback comes in and plays right away like Allen did, year one to year two, there's a growth factor. You've got that first year under the belt. You've learned a lot. What are the things you typically would notice in the third year? What's the progression level at that point for a young quarterback in the league?
Well, I think you're kind of seeing it. You kind of put it all together. The first year, you're just trying to figure things out. And Buffalo really wasn't a talented team at all. And you saw the athleticism. You saw the things he could do. He's got a big arm. Last year, I think you see a guy who understands defenses a little bit better, makes better decisions with the football, but I still think he was pressing it and trying too hard because he wants to do so well. Now you see a guy who's putting it all together. He understands defenses, understands where he's going with the football, still think he could secure the football a little bit more because he's such a good athlete. He runs with it, and at times he coughs up the football fumbling. But he'll correct that, but he's putting it all together. That's normally what happens in year three and four, and that's when you see a quarterback's career start to take off.
He definitely has some gunslinger in him. Like, we talk about some of the throws he tries to make. He's cut down significantly on his interceptions, but he believes in his arm. And I do believe that is a good thing. I'd rather have that gunslinger mentality in my quarterback. But how do you or should you balance the gunslinger attitude, the risk-taking, with being a little more careful? Or should you not? Hey, man, he's getting 30 points. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I think you, as a quarterback, you got to weigh the risks and rewards always. If it's a got to have it moment, you're going to let it loose. Whether if he's scrambling and let's say it's a third and five and it's crucial that he needs the first down, he's got to scramble and give up his body and do make some decisions that maybe are a little bit reckless. But it's kind of a got to have it moment. But you got to weigh those risks and rewards. You know, if it's 3rd and 15 and he's scrambling and he knows he's only going to get 7 yards. Hey, slide or get out of bounds, because at that point there's no reason to give it up for the team in that certain moment. So he's got to weigh all those decisions. I think he is doing better. We'll wait till it's a bigger game, because I kind of thought last year in the playoff game against Houston, he kind of blew a gasket. You know, he lost his cool, he lost his composure, and really, you know, put too much on himself that he thought he was going to do it all, and he can't do that. So he's got to survey everything and constantly make what decision is best for the team to win.
And that's why we were talking about this schedule. I mean, the Rams are good. It's just in. That was a tough game on Sunday for the Bills, and they blow the big lead. But then Allen and the offense, you know, they have the ability to put together that game-winning drive. Raiders, Titans, Chiefs, and we've been looking at this stretch of four games as a step up from the Jets and the Dolphins and learning more about this Bills offense.
Yeah, I think so. That was a big test. You're right. The Rams are a tough team. I think they're a lot better than what anybody anticipated them to be. But go look at Sean McVay's record in September and October. He's crushed it over the years, so we shouldn't be too surprised. But like you said, the quarterback and the team got themselves together. They make the key drive. They go down and score. And again, I just think that's confidence across the board. One, the Bills' offense is better built across the board. The quarterback has a great understanding of situational play, and I think that's starting to show itself. And that's a credit to Brian Daboll and the whole offensive staff, that they really coached up this young quarterback who really, you know, we can talk about the athleticism of Mahomes, the athleticism of Lamar Jackson, but Josh Allen truly is probably the most athletic quarterback in the league. He can do things no other quarterback can do. He's just that physically gifted.
Jim Miller with us from SiriusXM NFL Radio. One more thing on the Bills, and then I want to get some thoughts on the other teams, specifically some of the teams in the AFC that the Bills are fighting with. And, you know, you brought up Diggs. If you look at this offense in general, Jim, and maybe specifically the receiving core, I'll even throw in, you know, the rookie Gabriel Davis, who's off to a good start. But the top three for sure, would you stack this Bills receiving group up with the best in the league at this point?
I'd say they're definitely in the top 10. You know, obviously, when you look at a team like Arizona and you trade for DeAndre Hopkins and the guys they got, Danny Isabella provides a lot of speed. And, of course, you got a Pro Football Hall of Famer in Larry Fitzgerald and what they're doing. But I definitely put the Bills in the top 10 in terms of the receiving core. You know, I'd still like them to have a dominant tight end. You know, I think your tight ends are serviceable, but they're not dominant.
Right.
If you probably got a tight end, I'd put them in the top 5, definitely.
Raiders are up next for the Bills. 2-1 start. Your thoughts on what you see from Vegas so far this season?
Yeah, I think it's typical John Gruden. They've been trying to rebuild their defense, but offensively, I think Derek Carr is playing at a high level. Much like Josh Allen, they put a lot of weapons around him. They're just a little bit banged up right now with Ruggs and Edwards, their young receivers who are starting as true rookies. But you got a veteran quarterback who can bring them along. They've got a great tight end. There's a dominant tight end in Darren Waller, and I think Jacobs is an outstanding running back. So offensively, I think they're there. Defensively, as we just saw this past weekend, that's where they have their struggles. Here in New England, rush for 250 yards. So I just think that's they're not a complete team yet. They've been building. I think Mike Mack and John Gruden have done a good job to upgrade the roster. They pretty much overhauled everything, but they're not quite there yet defensively.
Bills play Kansas City in a couple of weeks, and it's always fascinating to watch Patrick Mahomes and that offense, the many weapons, the game plan, all the things they do to confuse defenses. It's a joy to watch until your team plays them. If you were going up against, I'm going to make you a defensive coordinator, if you were going up against this Chiefs offense, how do you try and defend them?
For me, I wouldn't blitz them. I think everybody witnessed that last night. I thought that was a bad game plan by the Baltimore Ravens and why they got shredded. I think you play a lot of rope-a-dope. That's kind of what the Chargers did a couple weeks ago. You play more coverage, make them make a mistake. You know, it's okay to make them go on a 14-15 play drive, and you got to make Patrick Mahomes pick you apart, and that's okay. But at some point, maybe there's an offsides. Maybe there's a holding call. Maybe there's a fumbled snap. Maybe there's a bad exchange. Maybe they make a mistake on a 14 or 15 play drive that puts them behind the eight ball. One, you're killing clock, and two, you're trying to keep them away from scoring and making them earn it the whole way into the end zone. And so I thought the Chargers had a really good game plan. They know them the best because they're an in-division team out there in the AFC West, and I just think that's a bad idea to blitz Patrick Mahomes. He's really good against the blitz, and I think Baltimore found that out last night.
You know, it'd be really good, too, having two elite edge rushers, right? Bosa and Ingram. I mean, I know they were talking about Baltimore's approach last night, and L.A. was successful against them, but how many teams also can bring both guys off both edges like they do?
Yeah, Ingram's been banged up, and Bosa certainly brings a lot to the table. But, yeah, of course, it helps. You need a really good defense, and I think Buffalo does have that. Sean McDermott has proven that over the years. You were a top-five defense a year ago, and I think it's a well-coordinated unit. But, you know, like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with making an offense earn it. Yeah. Sometimes they make mistakes, too.
I'm going to guess, final thing for you, Jim, your overall AFC views at this point. I'm going to guess you have Kansas City number one in the conference. If that's the case, right, who's next best? Is there one team that stands out in the next best, or are there a handful of teams in that discussion?
Well, I think there's a handful of teams. I don't like, just in the AFC you're talking about, or just the entire NFL. Like,
no, just in the AFC.
Okay, just in the AFC. Probably the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're a legitimate team. I think they probably don't have the depth of, say, like what Baltimore has. But Pittsburgh is legit. That defense is ferocious, and Big Ben is figuring it all out. And, again, they've added more weapons to him on offense. I really like the addition of Eric Ebron to that offense and the drafting of Chase Claypool. That guy's already making waves as well, and that's going to be a really stout football team.
Okay, I have one NFC question for you, actually, because I think one of the other big stories so far this season has been everybody talking about what's up with Drew Brees. That was a big talking point since they were just on Sunday Night Football. Are you seeing anything in Drew Brees this season that you'd say, okay, there's definitely something wrong, or Father Time has for sure caught up with him?
No, I think Drew Brees is fine. You know, they were adjusting. They lost Michael Thomas, but Drew, I thought, played really well in this last loss to the Green Bay Packers. He did everything he could do. They're just, as a team, they're not playing well overall. You know, the defense really hasn't stepped up and played how they can play. They're making uncharacteristic mistakes in terms of penalties. You look at the fumble of Taysom Hill. I mean, Drew's got nothing to do with that when they insert Taysom Hill into the lineup. It's a really good football team. They've got a lot of depth. I thought maybe one of the things that hurt them and why they've started so slow, if you remember, out of every team, and as you mentioned, we're dealing with a pandemic, their starters, meaning their veterans, they didn't have any offseason. They didn't do virtual meetings. They didn't do anything. All Sean Payton said was show up and be in shape. And, you know, at least other teams were talking through things or talking through concepts. And I know everything's virtual, but it's still, you're covering things. Everybody's getting on the same page, even though you're doing it virtually. And New Orleans didn't do any of that. And I think they've kind of stubbed their toe a little bit. They're still good, and they'll put it together. But I think that's why they've started so slow.
Jim Miller with us here from SiriusXM NFL Radio, moving the chains weekdays 3 to 7. If I said go green, would you say?
They go white.
There you go. My son's a Michigan State grad. I just wanted to try it. It really does work. If you walk up to any Michigan State alum and randomly go green, and they say go white. It's a natural reaction. I just wanted to make sure it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like rote memory. It's like playing quarterback. At this point, Josh Allen, 3-step, 5-step, 7-step. It's just automatic, brother.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on our show this morning. Enjoy the rest of the season.
All right, you bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Jim Miller on our Western Hotline as we talk Bills football, of course, playing the Raiders on Sunday. And We'll find out about the Raiders, actually, at 9:30 from Adam Hill. One of the stories to track this week is their injury situation. They're really banged up in the wide receiver core for sure. So we'll talk more about that as the week goes on.
So, real quick, I was doing some research to verify the Jaromir Jagr statistic.
That's a really mind-blowing stat.
It is, and it does check out. However, I think Jeremy mentioned that there was only one player that lost of his former teammates.
Yeah.
I think there's actually two.
Still,
because according to this post, that it was Alex Chiasson that played with Jagr. Technically, he never played with Jagr because by the time that Chiasson made the Stars roster in 2013, Jagr had already been traded to Boston. But in 2018, he did happen to have one teammate play in the Stanley Cup final
and lose
and loss. It was Jonathan Marchessault, played with the Florida Panthers in 2016-17, and then when Marchessault went to Vegas, played with them in the final.
That's amazing.
So it's still, though, every year
checks out.
For the last 40 years, a former teammate of Jagr has played in the finals.
Based on my quick checking of everything, yes, that's correct.
I'm taking that over the Aaron Rodgers stat.
It's pretty good.
40 years.
I've got trivia for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Raiders trivia.
Raiders trivia.
Raiders trivia.
John Gruden.
Not correct.
Nuts.
So sometimes we do quarterback trivia. Sometimes it's name the last 12 quarterbacks because teams have been a mess. Well, the Raiders have had the same guy for a little bit of time here, right?
Derek Carr. Yeah, he's going to – in fact, I think he's about to set like the Raiders record for passing touchdowns or something.
It wouldn't be surprising. He has been their quarterback full-time since 2014. He's played in at least 15 games every single season.
Wow.
There was one start for Matt McGloin, one start for E.J. Manuel. By the way, I'd like a prop bet on Nathan Peterman taking a snap on Sunday.
And throwing to Zay Jones?
Sure. So here's your question. Carr is one of, 6 quarterbacks to have played a full 16 games in a season for the Raiders, wherever they might have been calling home. 6 quarterbacks, all 16 games.
Oh, okay, yeah, and I got to think, like, after 14-game seasons.
If you want to go to 14 games, you add 2 others in.
Well, I was going to say Jim Plunkett, but I don't even know if they were – yeah, they would have been playing 16 games. Jim Plunkett.
Jim Plunkett never played more than 13 games in a season.
How about Ken Stabler?
Kenny the
Snake. Ken Stabler is correct.
Very good.
16. In 78 and 79.
Rich Gannon, when they won the Super Bowl?
Is correct. Rich Gannon, multiple times. 99 through 2002, he played 4 straight seasons of 16 games.
Jamarcus Russell had to have played that 1 year all 16 games, even though he was terrible. I think he played all 16 games.
Russell played 15. Andrew Walter got the other start.
Oh, come on.
Andrew Walter from Arizona State University,
Get
by the way.
Get out of here, Andrew Walter.
Carson Palmer?
Yeah. Not correct. No. Carson Palmer played in 9, also played in 15 with 1 start for Terrell Pryor. You're missing 3. There are 3 that have played 16. There are 2 that played 14. If you do want to guess those, I will give them to you.
Oof.
Full seasons at quarterback for the Raiders.
I think I'm probably at Hintland.
I'm
at this
Hintland.
Point.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Hintland. Appeared in a Super Bowl with a different franchise. Won that Super Bowl.
He won the Super Bowl?
He did win the Super Bowl, went to the Raiders, and had 1 full 16-game season.
The Super Bowl elsewhere.
He won a Super Bowl for an NFC team and then went to start for the Raiders. And his first season with the Raiders was 1993.
Okay, early 90s NFC quarterback. Okay, so it's not Aikman.
Who was the...
Oh, it's Hostetler.
Yeah.
It's either him or a Washington quarterback.
Right.
Jeff Hostetler. Speaking of a Washington quarterback, this guy played 16 games for the Raiders, and also, I'm double checking here. Yeah, he played for the Washington football team from 84 to 87, then went right to the Raiders from 88 to 92.
When did he play in Washington? In the mid 80s?
84 to 87, right, so and then the Raiders from 88 to 92.
So it's not like Doug Williams?
Who was the Raiders quarterback in the early 90s?
Geez, I'm trying to think who was their quarterback when they got waxed here. I hate this stuff when I have to remember things. Would he have played in the 50? You probably would have played in the 51-3 game. Who was their quarterback in the early 90s? Hello, Twitter! I'm drawing a blank.
What season Raiders am I looking at here?
90.
90 season Raiders, yeah.
1990 Raiders. I mean, yeah, he must have played in the comeback game.
In the blowout, yeah. Shoot, I don't remember who was the quarterback for them that day.
He went to UCLA. He was a third-round pick.
That doesn't help.
He won the Super Bowl.
Another guy won the Super Bowl elsewhere?
In the 1986 season, must have been the backup to Doug Williams.
Washington. Who would have been? I got nothing.
Nothing.
Jay
Feely. No.
I mean, come on now. Jay.
I'm drawing a blank. That's just, it's one of those senior moments. I don't have the name.
Jay Schrader.
I'm sorry. I've just wiped his career out of my brain.
Nope.
Yeah.
16 games played for another Raiders quarterback who was a number one overall pick,
sure,
but not of the Raiders. He was the number one overall pick, and the Raiders were his third team. He played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams, and then went back to the Raiders in 06.
A number one overall pick that played for seven teams?
Seven teams. Mm-hmm.
How does the number one overall become like a... Does that make him a journeyman quarterback?
Yes.
A number one overall pick on seven teams in the late 90s, early 2000s?
1990 to 2006 he played.
Wow. Mm.
Matt Tuiasosopo.
No. I think you're thinking of Marcus
Tuiasosopo. Marcus Tuiasosopo. That's right.
Whatever.
I was thinking the
whatever.
Same thing.
It's
that's
a Tuiasosopo.
I was thinking the same thing. No, that's good. Number one overall pick.
I mean, this is, you should feel shame for this
one. Of course I should. I know that. But just, I'm telling you, I forget everything. I'm lucky I wake up in the morning and remember where to go to work.
I probably should remember this, but.
He went to Illinois.
Jeff George.
Number one overall pick.
Seven teams, yeah, sure. That's right. Jeff George, right.
So those are the quarterbacks that have played a full 16-game season for the Raiders. If you want to show, you know, you're old and stuff, the two guys that played 14-game full seasons.
We're going back into the 70s then, I assume, right? The old 14-game seasons.
I'll just take a nap during this.
Daryl LaMonica.
That is correct. I knew you'd get that one.
Tom Flores?
That's right.
All right.
Hey, good news. You remember the 60s, but not the 90s.
Well, I mean, the brain started to go away after, like, the 80s. So it was all this, you know, it was all the drinking I did when I was in college. It probably caught up to me in the 90s, and I just started forgetting stuff.
Look at this is a beautiful thing we've just been tweeted. So, user named Bootney Farnsworth has sent a picture of the Sports Illustrated cover from that game.
Oh, is it Schrader on the cover?
Big Bad Bills.
Number 13.
And the Bills are face masking him. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did they get flagged on that? That is nasty. Poor guy. His face looks like he's in pain on that picture.
Yeah.
Thanks for tweeting that in. And thank you for the dude. Come on. Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't get Jay Schrader.
I thought you'd get Jay Schrader.
Yeah, now I'm getting everybody now is tweeting. Well, sure, he gave the answer already. Now you're tweeting Jay Schrader. Or were you before he gave us the answer? Social media. 803-0550 to join us. We'll talk about the Raiders. 2-1. Good offense, not so good on defense, in a nutshell. So we'll find out about them in a moment. Hey, did you get us your Bills fan moment? If not, you still have time this week to tweet us and let us know why you are the Bills' biggest fan. You might win a prize for this. All you need to do is tweet the video, tell us your story, at WGR550, and use the hashtag community of Bills fans. That's it. Every week we pick one fan, and that person wins a $50 gift card to the Bills team store. You also get featured on WGR on game day, and you qualify for the grand prize, which is really cool. It's a new television. It's a propane grill. It's something called a 420-watt soundbar, whatever that is. That sounds really cool, right?
Yeah, those are really cool.
Is it? Okay, guys, I have no idea what I'm talking about. A Yeti Tundra Hall cooler?
Oh, yeah. These
again,
are good things.
No idea. Thank you for being here. 250 gift card to the Bills store. I know that.
That's
neon
cool.
Bills sign for your homes. It's really cool. So tweet us. And if you need any other gifts explained to you, Jeremy is on Twitter. Send it at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans. All the details are at WGR550.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You know, just trying to make sure I got the quote right.
The autumn wind is a raider.
Is a pirate? Yeah. That's what I was trying to check the quote. The autumn wind is a raider. John Facenda, the voice of God.
I was going to say, regarding the trivia last segment, you were really struggling with Jay Schrader.
Jay Schrader.
Now, it is the autumn wind is a pirate.
Autumn wind is a pirate. Thank you.
Blustering in from sea with a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. They say the autumn wind is a raider in the final.
Is that what they do? All right. I wasn't sure when he worked in Raiders.
So here's the question going forward for instant trivia. Should I just not tell you and it just keeps going the rest of the show until somebody calls in and says, Howard, it's Jay Schrader, man.
No, see the okay, yes, it's funny and you should, but Twitter would, I mean, immediately someone would tweet me the answer. Right. Then they would ruin the fun of you stringing me along for half or going, Dennis Chalowski? I mean, I would just be pulling names out of anything at that point.
Yeah.
Jay Schrader. I mean, I know who Jay Schrader is. It's not like I forgot Jay Schrader played in the league. I could actually see, I could picture his, like after you gave me the answer, I could picture his face. Like I know what Jay Schrader looks like, but I just couldn't, put the name together with the instant trivia. So I just kind of failed miserably on that one, but thanks. So
the
we're efforting our Raiders guests. We'll see if we can track them down. It's really early out there, and I actually, it's the guy's day off, and we were going to make him wake up early to come on with us.
Fun fact about the Raiders I can give you. I forget. I hope I get this exactly.
Oh, I think we lost Jeremy. Well, that's not a way to have the show go at this point. That's it. We're done. We're closing early. Brayton, hit the instigators open. Okay, there you are. We were just going to go to Instigators 25 minutes
ago.
Yeah. Maybe.
I was just going to tell you a quick thing about the Raiders
there
that I learned.
There you are, yes.
Once from New Era.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they're the only team, I think, in the league that will not allow their logo to be split in any way. Sometimes you'll see the NFL will market jackets or hats where it's a half logo and there's some sort of effect.
Really?
And the Raiders have had a longstanding policy of not allowing any that can never be done.
Yeah. I didn't know that. It's the silver and black. I guess it's, you know, it's sacred for them, the Raiders logo. How are you feeling about this game on Sunday?
I feel good about it. I mean, I'm a little bit worried.
Bills are favored.
About the run game. They are favored. You know, the way that the way the Rams run the ball is not the same as the way a lot of other teams run the ball. Some teams want to ground and pound, and some teams want to spread and, you know, kind of just gash you in the run game. So, you know, running the ball is always talked about as kind of like imposing your will. But the Bills are talking about gap integrity, right? They're not talking like they got pushed off the ball. It was we were in the wrong spots.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get to our spots, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
So sometimes, yeah, and sometimes it can feel or seem like a team is just pushing you around. But the reality is that you're just not hitting your spots. You're not filling your gaps. Gap integrity, all that. Your run fits. We hear about that from time to time.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, it was the Bills not fitting their spots, you know, something to talk about with Sal tomorrow. He's going to join me tomorrow. The Bills are a little lighter, but they've got players on the defensive line that can play. It's about, I guess it'll be about the run fits, right? It'll be about the linebackers. It'll be about a lot of things. But I do worry a little bit about that Raiders run game.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I don't worry too much about Derek Carr.
I would, too. I would say if you had to prioritize it, I would put Josh Jacobs in their run. I mean, they like to run the ball, and he's really good. I would put that ahead of Derek Carr in terms of my
they
list
give him
of concerns.
So many touches.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he only had
I think he had like 16 carries the other day against New England. But I think, you know, it's funny, a couple things. Yeah, Leslie Frazier, when he was on his Zoom call yesterday and he was asked about the problems they had with Daryl Henderson, yeah, he did talk about some missed tackles, but, you know, gap integrity and execution that they were executing in the first half, and they weren't doing it as much, and the Rams were better in the second half. You know, I was thinking about, Gruden said the same thing. They got shredded, their run defense, in New England the other day. They gave up 250 yards rushing on 38 carries, and Gruden said the same thing. I mean, you know, we got a lot of things to fix, but if I had to, you know, gap integrity, guys are out of their spot, they're not maintaining what they're supposed to do in their run defense. I was thinking, too, you know, when coaches talk about what could go wrong, gap integrity and missed tackles would probably be the top two reasons, things that you feel you can correct. I was thinking about Brian Flores in Miami's first game, right, when New England ran all over the Dolphins, and he said, yeah, honestly, you know what? We had guys that didn't know what they were doing. There was miscommunication. We got five new starters, and we weren't all on the quote on the same page. That's not the problem with the Bills. You know, I think part of it is your middle linebacker is banged up. I think he's playing at less than 100%. That could be problematic. I think part of it is you don't have that big presence in the middle of the line to help on the run defense with Starla Tulalay opting out. So, you know, the Bills don't have, I mean, they have Harrison Phillips, they have Jefferson, they have Butler, they have bodies, they have good players, but they don't necessarily have that big physical presence in the middle. So I think it's a few things that kind of come together in terms of their run defense. We're beginning to see it a little bit against Miami in the second half against them and from Miles Gaskin. And so I would be worried about that more than Waller. Not to, you know, not to write him off as a non-factor. Of course, he had a great year last year. But I'd be more worried about the running game since that's what Gruden likes, right? We were watching the New Orleans game, the night game that New Orleans played Vegas, and they just kept talking about how John Gruden just loves feeding the ball to Josh Jacobs. He's all about giving this guy the ball. Great. So the Bills are going to need to step up and make sure that he doesn't run wild. On the topic of the Raiders, we have Adam Hill joining us, who covers the Raiders in Vegas for ESPN Vegas. And this is where I will now publicly apologize, even though I texted him yesterday and apologized. Today is Adam's day off. And he's been kind enough to come on with us, and I just wanted to publicly thank him because I feel really guilty. I'm Jewish. We feel guilty about everything. Adam, thank you for coming on with us on your day off at 6:39 Pacific time.
Oh, of course. Anytime. I'd love to do it. And listen, I have a ton of family up in Buffalo. I wanted to, you know, have them be able to hear me. So I got to tell all of them to listen. So I'm sure they're very excited that I'm doing this too.
All right, Adam's family, send money on my behalf, please. I'll Venmo yeah. you. Key injuries to follow this week. Let's start there because the two young receivers are banged up, right? The two rookies.
Yeah, Henry Ruggs did not play last week. He got banged up in the opener. He tried to play through it, was not effective in the second half of the first game after really kind of, you know, erupting onto the scene that first half against Carolina. Game two, he tried to give it a go, got kind of re-aggravated, and then didn't play last week at all. Brian Edwards, who is really starting to come into his own a little bit and show some of the talent that they expected out of him. They're excited about getting him in the third round, thought he was a great value. Finally started to kind of show that on the field, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt the other day. So yesterday, as they returned home, John Gruden was kind of talking about the injuries to them, and he said he's concerned. So, you know, we'll see what that means. Henry Ruggs, they thought was only going to be, you know, a game or two, and now you're hearing, okay, they're concerned about something. And then situation, I think, you know, he came off the field. He was able to kind of play through it a little bit. But I think after the game, they were not overly optimistic about where he stood. So we'll find out where they are. But, you know, both guys are very important, obviously, to this receiving corps.
We were just talking about the running game and Josh Jacobs. Do the Raiders first and foremost want to run the ball with Jacobs? Is that their offensive identity?
Their offensive identity, what they want is to run the ball with Jacobs as many times as they can, and then when they have to throw the ball, try to throw it to Jacobs. I mean, that's kind of the plan for this team. They want to have the ball in his hands as much as possible. Last year, Jacobs was not really a part of the passing game. This year, he said he wanted to catch 60 balls. He said he wanted to really increase his production there. Week one, that worked out. You know, against Carolina, I thought he was, you know, him in the passing game was maybe the most important things that they were doing because it was opening up so many other things. Then last week, they weren't really able to get him involved as much in the passing game. So they want to throw it to him. They want to run it with him. The more they can have the ball in his hands, the better. The problem is last week, he's had, I think because of his style more than anything else, he's just such a bruising type of runner. He's had some injury concerns. There's been a lot of games that he came out of. He missed a few games last year. I don't think I remember covering a game in these 2 years where he didn't at some point look like he was hurt, you know, and need to come out of the game. So it just happens so often.
Darren Waller, we couldn't have a conversation to you without talking about him. And it's a two-part question because New England somehow shut him down last week. Let's start first, though, with his best attributes. He had a huge year last year. What makes him so good in terms of his usage as a tight end? What problems does he present?
Well, I mean, he played wide receiver when he first came into the league, so he's got that skill set. He's so much faster than most tight ends. He's just so dynamic as a pass catcher, and he, you know, had a lot of off the field problems throughout the early part of his career. Finally, got everything straightened out, and first of all, just before anything else, it's like one of the greatest people to be around that I've covered. Just what he's overcome and where he is now, and how he, you know, talks about his story, and just a really, really incredible guy, but obviously a great player too. So you watch him though on the field, and you just are blown away by how difficult he is to cover. And then last week, he goes to New England, and they figure it out. So yeah. I assume a lot of teams will look at the blueprint and see what the Patriots did. I think the key to it really was just, we know how good Belichick is at taking away your best weapon. What they did a lot of times was, they didn't have to double cover him to make the Raiders think he was being double covered. And I think they were doing a lot of things with their pre-snap reads that they, if they weren't double covering him, Derek Carr thought they were double covering him and then would kind of look away before the play even developed. And then all of a sudden, you know, Waller's not double covered, but Carr thought he was. And it was just a lot of that where they really threw the Raiders off in what they were showing them before the snap.
Adam, the defensive numbers are not good. What are the issues on that side of the ball?
Well, you only have a couple hours on the air, right? You don't. I don't think we can dissect all of that. It's been bad for a few years, and you know a lot of it has been personnel. It's really tough to diagnose everything that's wrong with the defense. I think it starts with the defensive line. Where, you know, they've got a couple of talented players. You know, Max Crosby is a guy who put up some sack numbers last year and people are excited about. But I constantly kind of, you know, temper people's enthusiasm about him by saying, yeah, he's great. He could get to the quarterback, but he leaves a lot of, you know, open space when he kind of just, you know, he kind of throws out the, oh, yeah, I also have to stop the run part of things. And is, you know, so focused on getting to the quarterback, he leaves a lot of gaps open. Malik Collins, they brought in to play defensive tackle from the Cowboys, who they thought was a rising star, and they thought was just going to come in here and really not only clog up space in the middle of the defensive line, but also just create havoc. He just hasn't done that at all. Cleveland Ferrell, who they drafted so high last year, has been playing much better, but he's just not that explosive, dynamic player that I thought they hoped for. He's just kind of becoming a solid player, which I don't think is what you wanted, the number four pick in the draft. On the second level, they brought in Nick Kwiatkowski as a middle linebacker to be the captain of the defense. He went down in the first game. He has not returned yet. I don't know that he'll be back this week either. They're going to try to get him back out there, but it hasn't gone. And then Corey Littleton, they brought in to be like the coverage linebacker, but now he's had to play a little bit more against the run because Kwiatkowski has been out. So really, they haven't really found their roles yet. And then I think the biggest problem last week, Jonathan Abram is just he's very explosive safety. He can make the big hit, but he's trying to make the big hit on every single play. And man, the Patriots found a way to take advantage of that. They were running a lot of plays where they were trying to isolate him against a ball carrier. And Abram was just trying to fly to the line of scrimmage, kind of forgetting that, you know, you're the last line of defense. And that really led to a lot of openings on the back end of the defense. So there's a lot of issues there. The thing people were most worried about is the corners. You got Damon Arnette and Trayvon Mullen, a first and a second year player at corner, and that really hasn't been an issue yet. I mean, they've played pretty well, but the run defense has just been atrocious.
Adam, thanks again. Thanks again for the early morning wake up on your day off. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Good talking to you guys.
Have a good day. Adam Hill from ESPN Vegas joining us on the Western Hotline. We'll get a break. Wrap the show up in a moment. Instigators coming up top of the hour. Kevin Adams going to be on with them this morning as well. Sabres GM at 10:30, I believe they tweeted. Yep. So that's coming up too on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Last minute of play in the show.
Quick thing I got for you. Ready?
Yeah.
You're off tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We can talk about this Thursday or going forward weeks in advance. Josh tweeted at me, after the Ravens playoff loss last year, you tweeted something about how Lamar gets more criticism than Allen. And honestly, I rolled my eyes. I'll take it back. The Lamar takes on Twitter are infuriating today. Hmm. It's like people have only seen him play once, and that's last night.
Yeah.
I'm not here to say, you know, that it needs to be who gets more, but everybody gets criticized. That's my number one thing. Josh Allen does not, and not anymore at least, he does not get more than Baker, than Lamar.
Oh, Baker gets crushed.
Baker gets crushed.
Absolutely. Darnold's getting crushed.
Baker, they had a host in Cleveland, get fired for calling him a midget.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
Like, you know, there are literally personal attacks on some of these guys. So Allen gets criticized, as he should. You know, he's a starting quarterback. Last night, Yahoo Sports did a side-by-side picture of Mahomes and Lamar. And Mahomes, they made a wings-up Ferrari. And Lamar, they made a cardboard car.
Ouch.
Like, you know, like, these guys are in the spotlight. It kind of comes with the territory.
Instigators are coming up next. Everybody have a glorious day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.